When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Forever Dog.
When I tell you, me and Marie, Hoggart.
Sydney, turn your microphone down, please, for a little bit.
Oh, sorry.
Or slide back for me for a moment.
How about now? Is this good? Is this better?
You sound
okay. Okay, great. All right.
Now, well, tell the people what's going on.
Okay, so, you know, me and Marie are a little booked right now, so... You know, put the hair behind the ear just a little bit. We're on set until 6 a.m., honey.
Playing chic zombies.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
First of all, they put all this nasty. We got there. Face was made up because you can't trust these makeup artists. Mm-hmm. But also, we're coming from shows. So we show up looking cute, looking good, smelling good. And they took all our makeup off except for my cat eye. And then they turned us into just gross zombies. And Sydney was living her very best life. I don't know what it is about my good sis, but anytime you could put makeup on her to make her look ugly, she thrives. Y'all remember the Halloween costumes?
Oh, my God. We will never get over me and just being... Who was I again? I forgot.
Who were you trying to be?
Roger.
Roger Klotz. I was Roger Klotz for Halloween in, like, 2018.
You were Roger Knotts. Yes.
I was Roger Knotts. I thought I was green. I was not. I was like a disgusting olive.
It was not good. Anyway, sis, the people know. They love it. They've seen it. Mm-hmm. But so we played zombies last night, and you know, Sydney, the wig looks fantastic right now. But
oh, this is a new one, honey. I that was the set wig, and now the set wig that was also my real wig, which is the Marianne Hay is going to be furious with me because
Sydney, of all the wigs to select to wear. You put the good wig on? Like, you don't have, like, a gym wig you could have thrown on?
No, I don't go to the gym, friend. What are you talking about?
Is this the gym?
I hop in the Uber. I get out the Uber.
Yes, but sis, the gym wig at my house is any wig that's stuck in the ponytail position. That's the gym wig.
I don't do ponytails.
Ooh, not hold my ponytail. Okay.
I don't do that. But anywho, she curled it and everything for it to just get fucked up anyway, so she's going to be annoyed, but it's fine. I paid her and everything.
She's not going to be annoyed because you keep paying her to do the wig. So
yes,
she's going to be like, dumbass.
Well, that's why if there's any networks listening, I still need to continue to get booked so I can pay for this hair. Mm. I need a hair budget. It's imperative.
It sounds like you already have a hair budget, sis. What's the hair budget? What's the wig budget giving? Beyonce Jr., what's it giving?
I'm going to say Kelly Rowland adjacent.
Kelly? Okay, girl. I'm going to say Michelle. The wig budget is Michelle when Jesus says yes.
No, you will not do that to me.
Nobody can say no. That's
not in front of our new guest today. No, you're not doing that to me. Sis, Kelly Rowland.
You think you got a Kelly Rowland? Have you seen the Kelly? Calandria wigs, ma'am.
Yes.
Ma'am.
So I'm saying from certain angles and in perfect lighting, yeah, I will.
You think you're spending the same amount of money on your wigs that Kelly is spending on hers? That's what I'm asking you. That's the question.
You don't even know. Kelly could be frugal and she could be renting hers.
Sis, your wig budget is giving Octavia. That's what it's giving. Latavia.
You know, I'll take that. That's fine. You know, I'm humbled, but it will get to Kelly Rowland soon. I'm hoping by 2022.
Okay, wow. Okay, put it on the vision board.
I'm putting it on the vision board. So anywho, we were there until 6 o'clock in the morning, very, very tired. But I wanted to have blood all over me. I wanted to really get into it. And Marie was like, I'm a vegan zombie. I don't eat nobody. I don't eat people.
They kept trying to put this black ass blood in my mouth. And I was like, what is that? Is it gluten free? And Sydney was like, more. Just bleat. Like, it was wild. At one point, she threw the man at the window. So that, we weren't even recording it. She just... Anyway, it's going to be on HBO. It was an episode of Search Party. So y'all can look for us for the finale of the series.
Wait, not can we series, say that, though? Can we say that?
I just said it, sis.
Yeah, but I don't think we can say that, though.
Why can't we say that?
Oh, she's what's the logic here? I don't know. Maybe an NDA? Well, no, they didn't even get
it. Did you sign something, sis?
No, I didn't. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. It's in. Keep it.
We're keeping it in.
All right.
Sydney, I went to bed at 7 o'clock this morning. I've slept for, I don't know, 5 hours. Where's this energy coming from that you're shouting into the mic? What time did you go to sleep?
No, I went to bed same time around you, but I just know that I'm working on myself because I know that I can be very, very lax and very much like always in a nap state. You know what I mean? Like I'm very like, what's his name? Drowsy. What's the seven dwarves? It's drowsy.
Was there a drowsy dwarf?
No, there's no, they're sleepy.
There's dopey. Oh, there's no dopey and sleepy. Not drowsy.
Drowsy.
Not can't operate machinery.
Yeah. Well, that's me. I'm drowsy. I'm the drowsy dwarf. So, I'm working on giving more energy and just being, you know, present. And I'm loving this today. This feels good.
Okay, sis. I love that for you. I love that you're working on you. We have a guest this week.
We do.
So thank you for bringing that energy for the both of us because, whew, let me just drink my coconut water, not from concentrate.
Also, you know, I'm coming down from a really big high. You know, JoJo was in town, in the building. The girlfriend was out and about. I was running her around, you know, just lunches, dinners. I wanted her to hang. I was paying for lunch. That's how happy I was. We went to lunch, Marie. Wow. I paid for it. I went to lunch with Carolina.
Well, Sydney, I feel like this. Oh, you were paying for lunch with everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's another reason. If the networks are listening, I need a lunch budget, so I need to keep working. So please, book me.
You keep asking for these budgets that you already have.
I know.
Yeah.
The people who should be asking for a lunch budget are the people who ain't paying for lunch.
They're running out.
The people who are like, did y'all already add the gratuity? Like the people who are struggling to pay for lunch are the ones who need the lunch budget. Ma'am.
Oh my God. I remember when I was a waitress in this big ass group. It was like a 15 people. And they were like, we didn't have gratuity. And I was like, there's no D. But
not gratuity.
Gratuity. But they're like, we're not paying for the gratuity. And we were like, but you absolutely are. You're paying for that.
15 people were fighting about leaving a tip.
Gratuity. They were like, what's the gratuity? And it's like, oh my God. I said, I don't know these people. I don't know them. I think they were from Detroit.
Oh, so you could have lied. For the story, you could have said that they were from anywhere. You could have said they were from Norway. You could have said it was 15 cheap blonde kids.
No, it was beige people from Detroit.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for fixing it.
Marie, are we ready to bring in?
Yeah, I think we're ready to start this episode so I can go back and lay down. Yeah, absolutely. Let's let's do it. Zombie number one.
Chic zombie number one to you. Well, obviously, you know, we have a lot of our friends on the pod, but today we have a new bee, fresh meat to Unofficial Expert. we're popping his unofficial expert cherry.
Right.
You could have seen him on Ellen. Okay. Right. I mean, so many followers. He's a blue checked verified bitch.
We love a verified bitch.
Yes, and he is our only child expert. Give it up for Kaylin Allen.
Hey, y'all.
Oh, hey, y'all.
Hey, baby.
Like, you sound like Paula Deen.
Sans the racism.
Oh, my gosh. I know they're fried chicken.
We are, say we're going to add some butter.
We're going to add some butter right here.
Hi, Kaylin.
How y'all doing?
Good. So where are you from, first of all?
Originally from Kansas. That's probably the accent.
This is Kansas?
Yeah, I'm from Kansas City.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's one of those states that I don't really think about, but like, that's
have you seen Ted Lasso on Apple TV?
No, I don't know.
No, but everybody's talking about it, though.
Oh, it's superb, but Jason Sudeikis is also from Kansas City, and his character in the show is from Kansas. Well, it's from Wichita, Kansas, but basically the same thing.
Same.
But we have a very similar accent. I was like, oh, okay, so I do hear it now.
Okay, listen, this is what you could do for me, sweetie. You could go ahead and drop your Apple password right in the chat.
Please.
Yeah.
So that we, too, can enjoy Ted Lasso.
Yeah, you can't get on the unofficial expert pod without giving to the community. So drop it in the chat, and okay. we would love to hear know about this Ted Lasso.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I will do that.
Okay, but where do you live now?
Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. I see you got
Los Angeles.
It's a well lit home. There's a little dog in the background. The fridge is giving like super stainless steel. Okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of sunshine. You know, we live the same day every single day here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you don't have to talk about the sunshine because the sun could be on, but it could also not work because sometimes it'll be like, you know, the sun is shining and then it's like 42 degrees over there at 6 p.m.
That's true. That's true. That's because it's a desert. You know, they just irrigated water into the land. That's how they built it into a city. It's a desert.
Come on, so irrigate night,
the accent cold. And the accent and irrigate the land.
Yeah. I think irrigate is a SAT word.
Is it? I didn't take the SAT. I didn't have to. I only had to take the ACT.
Okay. Okay. Well, I didn't have to take. Did I take the ACT? Why is that? Why you didn't have to
it
take
depends.
Both?
I think it depends on regions. I think if you live on like East Coast, you have to do the SAT too. But if you live in like the Midwest, they only require ACT. It really depends on the school, I think.
Okay. So now here you are, our only child expert, born and raised in Kansas City, Kansas.
Yes, correct.
Talk to us about how the hell you ended up in LA. Because I feel like a lot of people who are from small towns usually stay, you know, where they grew up. Yes.
Yeah, not me. No. Kaylin,
may I step in just for you're a star, baby. That's why the fuck he's not in Kansas City no more. He's got the talent, capital T. So he took his talent to LA and it blew up like he was supposed to.
Well, there's a little bit more to the story.
City trying to give us the Spark Notes version of you.
See, I went to school in Philadelphia. So I left Kansas, went to school in Philadelphia, and I didn't choose to move to Los Angeles. I was moved to Los Angeles. Oh. Ellen DeGeneres moved me to Los Angeles. Oh. And that was when I started working in LA. So when I moved to LA, I was already working in the industry. I just came straight into it. But that doesn't mean that I want to live in LA. I would prefer to live in New York City.
Wow, because that's because you have eyes. That's because you know better.
Right, exactly.
Why is it that you would rather live here? Just let the listeners know.
Well, I would rather live in New York City because LA is too slow for me. Mm. I think, because I'm only 25, I think I still enjoy the hustle and bustle. You know, like I want the rush of the city every single morning. Also, primarily everyone that I know lives on the East Coast, but also there is an authenticity that resides in the species of humans in New York City that does not live here in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, you got a lot of people trying to be just like the person next to them. You know, in New York, you got individuals that wake up, they got somewhere to go. They don't care about what you're doing or who you are. They got goals and dreams and aspirations. And New York feels magical to me. New York feels like anything is possible.
Listen, and then cue Andrew, then you could add the song.
Absolutely.
But that's the best way I think to explain it. Cause I know there are people listening who maybe are trying to decide whether they want to move to New York or move to LA. Mm-hmm. And that's, mm-hmm. to me, the best way to explain it.
Well, if that is the case, then I think it's also important to understand that I come from a very privileged space.
Oh.
That me moving to New York is going to be very different than somebody, you know, fresh out of college moving to New York. Okay. So it's important to understand the difference in that.
He said,
so you're rich.
Right. He said, you're going to move to New York, but you're not going to live how he live. Okay.
No, I'm just saying is that, you know, living in these big cities, LA especially, like, rent is not cheap, you know? And so it's like, if you have an idea, like, you can't go to New York and think you're going to be living like Carrie Bradshaw. Like, that's just not,
Listen. Like, Carrie Bradshaw technically shouldn't even been living like Carrie Bradshaw. She
exactly.
didn't have no money.
She but didn't was, have no money.
But that was the only show that, like, glamorized New York. Everybody else is living in a bum, you know, walk-up apartment. They have many roommates.
What are you talking about, Sydney? Friends? How I Met Your Mother? All these shows where the white people live in lofts and they all work in coffee shops?
Hold on. That's true. First of all, that... Friends was not in New York.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But also Friends
wasn't in New York?
No, baby. Oh, bitch. Okay.
Well, Andrew, as our resident beige expert, Friends wasn't in New York?
Right,
no,
I'm gonna look it up.
Friends was in L.A.
No, it was in
New York. No, France was in New York.
Central Perk? That was New York.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah. Not you coming in hot, loud, and wrong.
Hold on.
France was in New York, baby. They lived in the West Village, mm-hmm. yeah.
Girl, they were living lavishly.
Yeah, they were living that. I don't even think apartments are that big in New York.
Oh, my God. Did I never watch Friends? I've never watched Friends.
No.
To be honest.
So why would you say it? Why you bring it up?
You know what? I'm confusing Friends with 90210. That's what it is.
Girl, now, baby. Oh, 90210 is a whole zip code.
Same thing.
It's not the same.
You know what?
Pretty much same show. I cannot.
90210 is a whole ass zip code of Beverly Hills.
I know.
The name of the show was 90210 Beverly Hills.
I'm confusing the whites. That's the title of the show. Confusing the whites. I flipped it in my head. No, Kaylin, don't do that. You have to be on my side. You're a guest. Say sorry. I'm not doing this.
I apologize.
I'm not doing this with you. Not say sorry. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Give me some of the tea.
Now, Sydney, did Aretha also live in L.A.?
Cut the tape. Dead ass. Cut the camera. Dead ass.
Okay, I don't know what the point is that you were trying to make, but girl.
We were talking about how, you know, you got to have a realistic perception of what it's going to be like when you move to these big cities.
Right, so, but New York for me, sorry, Sydney. New York for me is a better city to move in, even if you have less money, because the cost of living in LA and New York is comparable. You're spending the same amount of money. You just get more space in LA. Boom.
Yes.
But New York is easier to make friends and build a network and form a group. LA
is more, New York is more convenient.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to go from one part to the other in the manner of 15 minutes, you know? And I think it's also cheaper transportation wise than it is in LA, because in LA, you gotta have a car.
Right.
Like, we have no subway system that is reliable that will get you to where you need to go to, you know? So I just think New York City is built for community and culture, while LA is not.
And New Yorkers, right, you can make friends with other New Yorkers, and the people could kind of look a little bummy and like very homeless, and you're like, oh, they might come from money. You don't know. But in L.A., if you look homeless, they will assume that you are homeless, and they're like, oh, they're not booking. They don't know anybody. I can't be friends with them.
In
L.A., you have to have, like, what are you doing? What's next? Are you working on a pilot? Do you have a script? Do you have a development deal? In New York, you could be like, yeah, girl, you know, I work at Chili's, and, you know, I work at the strip club on the weekend. And they're like, oh, what was good? The garlic parmesan wings is popping. Let's go.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you're a waitress, and then at night you go be on Broadway.
That part. Well, that's the thing.
The class structure is blurred.
LA is what are you working on? And New York is, I got to get to work. You get out of my way. Like
exactly.
Very much so.
So that's it. That's our little, the more you know about East Coast versus West Coast.
But Kaylin, you said you came to LA privileged. So what is it like? You had saved money.
I told you. I was moved by Ellen. I was already working in TV.
Okay, well tell us about okay, so Ellen DeGeneres moved you to LA. Now what happened? She saw a YouTube and she was like, "Ooh, I like this," and she made you dance.
That's exactly correct. Now I made some food videos in November of 2017, and then I moved to LA January 2018. It only took a matter of a couple months.
Get out.
For Ellen the City videos.
You were so viral. I was seeing your videos everywhere.
Yeah, and so then from there, she picked me up, and I moved to Los Angeles, and I've been here ever since.
I don't think I saw these food videos. What you doing in the food videos?
I'm talking about the food.
The commentary, and your voice is very distinct, so it's like people can't do what you do. I've seen a few people do it, but it like yours is very special, so...
Oh, well, thank you.
Ellen got a good eye. When she
when she needs it.
We've grown a lot since then. We've done a lot more since then. So I'm just grateful for the journey.
Okay, talk about the journey. Let's start from the beginning of the journey, okay? Because I don't know how many minutes in we are. But so you are our only child expert, and you seem like a normal, well-rounded human being. When I think of only children's, I feel like it's got to be something a little off about them because they grew up alone. But you look not that.
Boo! I don't like what you just said, Marie.
Yeah, that wasn't right. But I think, I was always, my mother was very much, very strict on making sure that I was aware that there were other people in the world. You know, like it wasn't. Now, I will say, there is a tendency, especially now, and I tell people this all the time, is that because sometimes somebody would be like, it's not always about you. And what I say is that, well, I don't really know any different because I'm an only child. So, like, I don't get it. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. So I have to be very, you know, conscious of it. I have to make sure that I'm always being considerate. Like, I'm a very considerate person. People know that I will always put other people before me because I already know, because I'm an only child, it will come off that I'm only focused on me. So I'm very aware of people around me and how I make them feel, and if they feel welcome and if they feel that I care about them.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. But in order to prove that, we have a guest joining. No, imagine. we have one of your friends on the line.
So-and-so said. And I'd be like, that's probably true.
Yeah.
But I think we need to have a better discussion about, oh, you only care about yourself, or like selfishness, because I think we live in a world that like you can't help someone unless you help yourself first.
True.
Like you can't put on the oxygen mask. You got to put on your oxygen mask first and then put on the small child that you didn't really want to have in the first place.
Oh my God.
I think that it's okay to have you as a priority. Yes. And you don't even have to be an only child to have that mentality. Look at Marie.
What? What? Oh, Marie, you said all of that just to end with look at Marie.
Shade.
Wild. You can't. First of all, I'm a middle child. I am the oldest girl in my family. So I have an older brother and a younger sister. I don't know nothing about this.
I can see that.
Yeah, thank you.
I can see that.
But now, does your astrological sign have anything to do with this?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Capricorn.
Okay, so a hard worker and a little bit annoying when it comes to work.
Child, that's all I do. I eat and breathe it. And when you ask me, what do I do for fun? Work. I was in St. Lucia for 10 days. And by the fourth day, I was like, I need to work. I can't do this. I can't just sit around and do nothing. So I started working, and that's what I love to do.
10 days is a long amount of time. Who were you there with?
Yeah, were Bae?
I went with my best friend, Tori. No, baby, I don't have no Bae. Are you kidding me? I got work to do. I don't have time for distractions.
You need to work on that Bae, bitch.
Come on, we got to get you a Bae. You can't have a cello in the back and no Bae to play it.
Stress me out.
Well, men are very stressful, famous.
Exactly. I don't even deal with them, so yeah.
There you go. See, look, I wish I could switch it up.
So do I.
You can choose your fighter, Kaylin. Choose your fighter. It's wait, up to you.
Wait, so you were in St. Lucia for 10 days with your best friend. Are uh-huh. y'all hooking up? Is it like a cat? Like, what's oh. happening?
No, she a girl. Oh. No, we was just I knew that I needed to get away, and so I took the whole month of July off, and so I was like, I'm not doing anything for July, and I was like, okay, well, I definitely want to get out of the country because I've been stuck at home. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let's go to St. Lucia, and so we went to St. Lucia. I was there for 10 days, baby, and it was absolutely relaxing and pure joy.
And you were like, I need to do some work right now.
Yep. And so I, good thing I had my laptop with me because I showed up, pulled it out, and got to work.
Yeah. Well, you unplugged for at least 4 days. So I think that's the vacation for you, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about what it's like growing up as an only child in Kansas City. What do you do to spend, like, how do you pass time?
So the thing is that, and I'm a natural homebody, which may also be because I'm an only child. It's like when you're an only child, you have to find ways to entertain yourself, you know, because there isn't somebody there. And also all of my like cousins were way older than me. So it was like I wasn't going over their houses or hanging with them. So it was literally just me. So and that's why I think that I am very, very, very self-sufficient and I am very independent. I can take care of it all. You already know. And so I think that was a perk for me. You know, I know how to take care of myself and I don't really need anybody. That's why I always say, especially when it comes to dating, if you are here, you're here because I want you here, not because I need you here. And there's a difference. You know?
Okay, Kaylin, that's a little aggressive. Okay.
Is it? You think that's aggressive?
I'm sure men love to hear that.
Yeah. I don't need you. You're here by the grace of God. Okay.
No, I didn't say that.
You need to thank your lucky stars. Thank your lucky stars.
I did not say that. I said it's a difference. You know how a lot of times, especially when you're growing up and you have, you know, childhood trauma or whatever, and then you have codependency and stuff like that, and people, you know, bring people in because they want to feel taken care of or to, you know, fill up those holes from their childhood.
Ooh,
I don't experience that because I just always figured out a way to take care of myself, you know, which I think is also a trauma response, you know, to be like, well, I know that I can depend on myself and I'm not going to give anybody the clearance or to be able for me to believe that they will, you know, take care of me, you know. It's like, why even bother? And so that's something that we work through in therapy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that for you. But yes, that is definitely, I think, a trauma response, saying that you could do everything by yourself and you don't need anybody because we all need people. Even when we don't think, even if we don't want to need them, we need them, which is ugh, yuck. Okay, so that's
Sydney over there got a lot in her mind, and I just need to know what you contemplating on.
I'm like, now I have a brother and a sister, but they are 18 years older than me, and I didn't grow up with them. They lived in New York, and I lived in Oakland, California. So I had a different way of life because I didn't have, like, I knew that I had them, but I didn't have them. So I was always kind of like searching for friendship. And my family was very, very strict. Like, I couldn't have friends like that. They were like, your family is your friends. And I was like, well, I need some family that's around my age. Like, I know that y'all are my friends, but y'all are, you know, 65. I need people that I can play, you know, ball with. Yeah. I play ball with y'all gonna fall. So, wow. And now I'm, you know, I'm in my early 30s and I still carry that with me that like, I'm always searching for friendship. So I wish I was as self-sufficient and not needing anybody like y'all.
Well, I do think that I think you can label yourself as an only child because, and the reason why I say this, I can relate to the fact of like, I have two half brothers, but they two both are very older than me and we lived in the same city, but I never saw them. Like we didn't grow up together. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, I knew of them, but I didn't really have them and we didn't really get close until I was an adult, you know? But I do understand the need and the want for friendship, especially when you're like by yourself. And I also think it may be a regional kind of thing, you know, especially growing up in Oakland, California, so close to San Francisco, heavily populated, that you're around people all the time. While in Kansas City is not as highly populated and is spread out. And also, I always felt like, especially as growing up gay in Kansas City and being black and stuff, I was always ostracized. There was nowhere that I really fit in, you know? Mm. And so I think that is also another layer. So it's not only just being an only child. You have to add also being a gay man and being a gay black man and how that operates within the space as well. And I think that kind of adds to the independence as well.
Kaylin, you were gay the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So like,
always
like,
been gay.
Wasn't part time? Is that what you asking, sis? You asking?
Yeah, always been gay as merch.
Like, did you think about it later on? Like, did it come later on in your life? No. Always from the beginning.
So what's that like being gay in Kansas City?
You know, I don't think I really realized the difference until I left. Because I think I was so just used to the culture. And I think a little bit that still, like, I still have certain things about me that are very conservative, I guess, in mindsets. Mm-hmm. And so because of me being from Kansas City, and it's more so like a presentation kind of thing or something like if you see me out, I'm going to be very polished.
No bonnet, you know? For you.
No bonnet, no.
Oh, no,
no,
I'll wear my do-rag outside. Oh. I'll do that.
In front of Monique's house?
Yeah, you know it. But I think it's more so like how I present myself, how I do my work, how I handle myself in emails and stuff like that. I sometimes fall into respectability politics because of growing up in Kansas City, where it's majority, you know, all white people. And even though, so me and Janelle Monae are from the exact same county, Wyandotte County.
Tell her.
And so, yes. So we're both from Wyandotte County, which is the poorest county in Kansas, but it's also primarily all African American and Hispanic. And so that helped me as far as my blackness, being able to understand that. But when it came to being gay, honey, needle in a haystack. Mm. You know, so a lot of my identity was built out of the identity that I didn't see, if that makes sense. So I created who I am based off of what I didn't have access to. You know, so for instance, with being black and gay, I talk about this all the time. It's like, I was asked in L.A. to judge a ball here in L.A. And I was like, I don't know anything about that. You know, and everybody thinks just because you're black and gay that you know about a ball, you know. And I'm like, I don't, because we didn't have that in Kansas City, you know. But if I would have grown up in New York or something like that, then yes, I would know that culture, you know. And so I often think about how our identities are built out of our environments and our experience.
But did you judge the ball?
Oh, yeah.
You had a fabulous time.
No,
I went, you know, because I, you know, I've been exposed to things like Paris is Burning. Yeah, I've been exposed to Pose, you know, and all those type of things. So I had a basic knowledge to be able to sit at the table and be able to give a good, you know, read.
Right. You know how to say tens across the board.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Did you watch Legendary? Megan Thee Stallion is not that versed in ballroom culture, but she was there and she's like, you did your thing. You did your thing. I liked everything that you had got going on. You had the energy. That's what you gotta say.
Megan Thee Stallion was definitely the Randy of the judges.
Yes. Very much that whole judging panel is kind of
questionable.
Interesting.
Oh, Kaylin, we got two.
That's not shade. It's true.
Who was the other one? The one that
Jamila's on there, and then there's Law is on there. Now, Laomi, yes. Like,
that makes sense.
Of course, that makes sense. I just think, and I do feel strongly about this. It's like, if you are going to do a show about ballroom culture, you are making that for the ballroom scene.
Right.
So you should put people on the panel that have a relation to that so that people can truly experience what that is.
Right.
Instead, it's just become American Idol, you know, but making it more, it's making it palatable to white people.
Right.
You know, but that's really what it boils down to.
Okay, so here we go. We're recasting the show. Who do you think should have been a judge on that show?
I think, well, definitely Laomi should have stayed, you know, and I'm okay with like adding in somebody else, but they got to have some type of connection, like be some type of like gay icon or something, you know. I wouldn't even been too mad if Madonna would have sat on the judging panel.
Just because she knows her gays, just because of the
Vogue song, and then also with her including people from Paris Burning. You clearly have some type of knowledge of this space. You know, I think that's what I would have wanted to know. Like, just not just, well, they don't have any connection to this. I just want to see people that have a relation to that culture in some form.
That's how I felt when I saw the judges as well. I said, Jamila. I thought she was like a news reporter or something.
She said, I'm queer. I'm bi. I can be a...
Like, now I will say, like, I love Jamila, and I understand, you know, working in this business and getting those offers for certain jobs and stuff, and even if you don't really know, it's like, okay, I get the angle and want to participate. I don't even think that's something that's like her fault or, you know, or Meg's fault. I think that's a network thing. That's this network not really understanding, I guess, diversity all the time, you know, and that's a Hollywood thing in general. We're always talking about diversity and inclusion, but do they really understand what that means when you're surrounded by people that look just like you, you know, and not really in those cultures?
Diversity inclusion for Hollywood is, well, we have 3 blonde people in here. Let's get a brunette.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes, that's diverse. Like, that's...
Yeah.
You dated a black guy in college, right? Yes. Yeah. So this is diversity.
And don't be black, gay, and a woman. They're like, oop, that's perfect. That's all three of y'all in one. Right. Let's go. Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Black, gay, and a woman, but you have an Asian father? Absolutely. Ooh,
come on, exotic.
Not the layers.
Come on, exotical.
Oh my God.
Okay, so Kaylin, you went to LA, right?
Yeah.
You didn't have any friends. Or you had a few friends?
Not in LA. I mean, I probably knew like a couple people. Also, you know, I keep my circle this tight. It is very small. Mm-hmm. So France was never a big priority to me. You know, I know Sydney, like, what do you mean?
Sydney's like, you ain't got no friends.
No. I understand it because, first of all, you're coming to LA already, like, mm-hmm. with this audience. You're already coming, you know, Ellen, job, all of Itoro, and then so you don't need a whole bunch of people to navigate Los Angeles. But I'm just saying, like, if something went down, who would you call in LA?
So now I do have a cohort. You know, I definitely have a few people that I would definitely call, you know, right on the dime. Like my best friend, Tori. So me and Tori went to school in Philadelphia.
Hey,
and
Tori.
And because I didn't have any friends here, I moved her here. Because
hold on, place of privilege. You moved her across the country because you didn't. This is some only child bullshit, right?
Let me explain.
No, Kaylin. So, Kaylin, just first of all, how long were y'all friends for?
We've been friends over like 6 years.
Okay, but wait. No, when you moved her over there, how long? It felt like
it was fresh out of college.
No. But that would have been about like 4 years at that point. Yeah.
Marie, I would move you to LA. If I had the money, I would move you to LA. I would.
Yes, but Sydney, nobody listening to this is surprised about that.
Oh my God.
Sydney's like, you could sleep in the bed with me and my girlfriend.
babe,
make space for Marie. Marie, grab the blanket. Sit, the blanket friend.
Wow, Marie, ungrateful. That's what you are.
Girl, okay, look, hold on. So you moved this. What was she doing when you moved her? Let's talk about
it. So at the time.
Nothing. You don't. No. If Kaylin Allen says, get your shit, we going to LA, you get your shit and you go. Leave your stuff and you're like, I'm starting over.
Yeah, I'm going to get new stuff.
She studied journalism. And so she was living in D.C. and she was trying to, you know, figure out what was next for her career, just graduated or whatever. And I was like, well, why don't you come out to L.A. to try and see how you like it out here? Mm-hmm. You can live with me. I'll handle all that. And then I said, and the trade-off would be like, and you can basically, you know, work for me at the same time. And so,
you hired her as your assistant.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So then that's where you were. And she's still here, but now she's going back to the East Coast because she's going to grad school. So she's going back. But I mean, and she runs my social media, actually. So she's my social media producer.
Oh,
and it works wonderfully.
But now let's talk about it. What does it feel like? Because basically, you pretty womaned her. You Richard Gere, and she's Julia Beige Roberts.
This is terrible.
And is she beige?
No, she's black.
Okay, well, okay. I just wanted to, I wanted to see who you were really uplifting in the community. so you move her out there. What is it like living with your friend in a city that both of y'all are kind of unfamiliar with, and she ain't got no job?
I love it. Well, she got a job with me. but I love it because it really helps us to be able to explore the city, you know, and not having to worry about the fakeness of it all, you know, because we got each other. So we don't have to worry about people trying to come in and mooch off of us, because it's like, well, we good, you know? So, and it really allows us to just be able to get up every morning and be like, okay, well, what are we going to do today? You know, and just enjoy the city for what it is and not having to get all caught up
well,
in the...
Well, I mean, she don't got to worry about nobody mooching off of her, but you flew her out there.
Yeah.
And you paying for all the groceries and...
Yeah.
Kaylin, I fucking love you. See, you're an only child, but like, you're still giving. You're still a giver.
Yeah, that's my flaw.
Why is that a flaw? No, wait.
Well, it becomes a flaw when men get involved.
Ooh,
because
okay,
I am a natural nurturer. I like to take care of people, you know? And so it's like a lot of times I think men get them and then they get into the mommy syndrome. Mm-hmm. And then it's like I just end up taking care of them and, you know, building them up. And then they go find somebody else, you know? And so then it's like,
they be borrowing your car to go see some other dude? Come on.
No, they don't do that. Don't nobody drive my Tesla. You can't drive that.
Not my bestie in a Tessie.
Tessie, no. You can't drive my Tesla. That's merch.
No, you cannot. You cannot drive my Tesla. But I mean, it's like people like the way that I make them feel, you know? So like they want to come here and they want to get the white picket fence kind of treatment, you know, because I'm a cook dinner every day, and I'm a clean the house, I'm a take care of the dogs, I'm a do it all,
dogs,
you know.
It's two dogs back there.
Yeah, I got two. Oh. So Kaylin, it's like,
Kaylin, you like gay women? Come on over there. We can be a relationship.
Amen.
We don't even have to have sex.
I'm asexual. There you go. Beautiful. Yeah, but no, that's what happens is that I just end up taking care of them. And it's like, I need to be taken care of too, you know? Yeah. It's like, I want to feel good too. I don't want you to just enjoy the fruits of my labor and I don't get anything back, you know? And I think also that's why I say being independent can be, you know, bittersweet. Because people say, well, Kaylin doesn't need me, or Kaylin's good, you know, and stuff like that. And like I said, it's like, yes, I don't need you, but I want you here because I want to share my life with you. When I go out in this world and I'm Kaylin Allen and I have to be on, I want to come home and be able to melt into you and not have to be on.
Listen to this poem. Melt into you.
A poet.
That's the title of a song. I'm gonna write it. Melt into you. It's look out for it on my album coming up.
I wanna melt into you.
Now, Kaylin, we have a large, you know, gay following. Yeah. You know, a lot of gay men at that. Mm-hmm. You know, Andrew could tell you because he's got fans, and they're listening. They're listening, and so like. Maybe four things that you're looking for in a partner.
Four. That's a really weird number. You could have said three. You could have said five. But four.
Four. Four is even number. Four is an even number.
Sure.
Yeah, I like that. Well, one first thing is that you cannot be like anybody else.
Oh.
If that makes sense.
Damn. Like that's number one.
You're looking for a snowflake. a fingerprint.
I need you to be different. I need you to be unique, and I need you to own that uniqueness. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I don't want to be able to find another you in the pile, you know? Ooh. Because I believe you're not going to be able to find another Kaylin. Okay. So it's like, if you can't find another me, I don't want to find another you. I don't want you to try and look like everybody else, you know? I want you to be your own individual. Two, you got to have a strong sense of self and be very self-aware, you know? Mm. I need you to be able to be like, okay, I messed up here. Let me fix it. You know, you have to be able to be willing to grow and to be able to become a better person. I don't need you to be perfect on day one, but I want you to be able to become who you want to be. And that's what's important. Not even who I want you to be, who you want to be, and actually put in the motions to make that happen.
Okay.
Number three, I need you. You don't have to be rich, but you do have to be working towards something.
Ooh, okay. So.
He said, I'm not taking that potential, okay? You potentially have to already be doing something.
Right. You got to have some type of dream and aspiration and putting everything that you have into it and be willing to sacrifice everything in order to get everything.
Sacrifice everything in order to get everything. Okay. All right. Okay. And number four,
bonus. Maria's writing all this stuff down.
I am writing them down.
We're writing it down.
Number four is, and this is like because of my household, is like you have to be good with dogs.
Good with dogs?
Dogs, yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's easy. That's easy. I think dogs are easier to deal with than like cats.
Well, I'm not good with dogs, so that one, I'm
not
good.
Yeah, some people not good with dogs, and that's very important to me because my dogs are my life. Those are my kids.
You let them sleep in the bed?
Yeah, they sleep in the bed.
Oh, you kiss them on the mouth?
Oh, no, I don't do all that. Oh, I don't kiss them on the mouth, but I mean, like, they're my kids. They're my children.
You feed them like, table food. They have table.
They eat human grade food.
Yes,
I don't feed them table grade. I mean, I don't feed them from the table, but I feed them human grade food. So they live a very luxurious life.
You making barbecue for the dogs?
Mm-hmm. Honey, we unthaw it every single night. We heat it up in the morning and we serve it to them.
You call the like dogs when you're at work and you say, can you get the meat out the freezer?
I came home a day earlier from my vacation because my dogs were having separation anxiety from me.
Kaylin, you gotta stop. You gotta let them like be without you.
They were for 9 days.
It could have been 10. Okay, so hold on. Let me read what I wrote. You need a unique, self-aware, not poor, not rich, person who likes dogs. Yes. So in my mind, I feel you need like an older, artist, maybe like an architect.
Oh, yeah. I was just about to say that. Yeah, like an architect or a computer tech person.
Yeah,
somebody not in the entertainment industry.
Ooh, that's working. That's right.
Oh, wait, I got to add a number five.
Okay.
You got to have some type of intelligence. Intelligence, ooh, I love somebody that's book smart.
Smart.
Ooh.
Smart.
But you got to have common sense too, baby. I thought
that was given, though. I thought that was given. Who doesn't like somebody who's smart?
Have you been to L.A.? See, that's the thing. It's like you live in New York, so you're around a whole bunch of intellectuals. That's why I love New York. I can have a conversation with New York and we could talk about some deep shit. You have conversations with here people in LA, all they talking about is who gonna win the Emmy, the TikTok, and like who's famous and who they met last week and how they was on set. I don't give a damn about none of that.
Yeah.
Kaylin, you need to come on over here to Death Row.
I'm coming. And
we're
going
to come on over to Death Row and hang out. Yeah, that's
right. We're
going
out.
Yeah.
We are going out.
And you know what? I'll put my Venmo card down for us.
I don't know, sis. He got move his bestie across the country and his bestie is in a
I'll
testy.
Pay for it. I'll pay for the dinner.
No.
Dinner on me. We go to the Soho House.
I love that for us.
You're a member?
Oh, yes, honey.
Wow. I love
all
that.
Houses.
All houses. The international card. I love that for us. And you've never bumped into anybody at any of the houses that ticked four of these boxes?
See, this is another bad thing. I don't think I really pay attention. It's like you got to approach me. I'm more likely I won't approach you because I'm just so focused and into what I'm doing that I don't really pay attention to my peripherals. And I've never been like boy crazy. Like I'm not the type of person that I gonna walk through and be like, oh, he fine, or oh, he crazy, oh, I need to get his number. I was never like that. So it's like, you gotta approach me or say something to me.
Yeah, but Kaylin, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, babe.
Exactly.
You're right.
You need to take off hashtag sports. Take off those thick work glasses and like see some shit, you know? Let some people like I love window shopping. You know what I mean? I already got my clothes on. I don't need any more clothes. But sometimes it's fun to look. You know, I'm gay, but I'm not blind. My eyes deserve a little eye candy, you know? Yes.
So what that means is you be flirting with people in the park?
No. I just like to look.
You see it.
Like I never really had a type. I knew what kind of person I kind of wanted, but I like not until a year ago, I kind of manifested what my type was. I was like, I want this person to look like this, boom, boom, boom. And then the Lord gave it to me.
Give
so,
it.
Amen.
Yeah, so, you know, sometimes you don't flirt or know what to look for in a person because you don't have that kind of like, oh, this is what I want the person to kind of look like.
Uh-huh. I'm on the other side of that. I say flirt with everybody.
Flirt
with everybody.
Wait, what's your sign?
I'm a Libra.
Oh, Tori's a Libra. That's my best friend.
Oh,
that's my best friend. She's a real bad.
Well, Kaylin, she already has a best friend.
Ooh. You right.
And yes, it, but, I mean, but Kaylin, but, we can go look for people together.
It's a 2-for-1 deal. Just so you
I would I would trust both of you to find me a man.
No, but you know what? Marie is really good. Let me tell you, when she's at the party, she's taking several laps. And the laps is for her to look who's in the room to mm-hmm. see what she wants.
It's not okay. It's not even to see what I want. It's just so people can, one, see what I got on. Mm-hmm. You need to see me. Okay? She's wearing a look, or she's wearing a wig specific to the event. and two, so I can see who's in the room. Like, sometimes you go out and you sit with your friends, you find a little place and you just camp out there. And there's a whole other chunk of the party that one is not seeing you or you're not seeing because y'all didn't move.
You got to stop camping. Stop coming to the party and camping out in the corner and getting all the snacks and just eating the snacks like little squirrels at the party.
Take a lap. You see somebody who has something on that you think is cute, male, female, compliment them. Start a conversation. You never know who you're talking to, honestly.
Now, I will do that. And trust and believe, every time Kaylin steps out of hell, he's giving a look, too.
Okay, Luke.
Oh, I believe it. I know you got a hard bottom shoe on.
Okay, you know it, baby. And a good little heel.
Okay, a little tick, 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 tick,
tick. Pump it.
And you know what? You know what good time, you know what else is? Like, when you're with someone that's fun, you're automatically going to be laughing loud. So people are going to see that too.
Pay attention.
And hear that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And me and Marie are laughing. We're like the little hyenas in Lion King laughing. Uh-huh. So sometimes we laugh so hard, people think we're laughing at them. But it's just.
And we are.
No, Marie.
Oh my gosh.
We're nice. We're laughing at
people. Yeah, girl, we're
else.
Nice. We're nicely laughing at people. That's girl, but did you see the blouse?
Oh my gosh, the shade.
Now, Kaylin, if you find your partner, right, and you want to start a family, do you think you'll only have one kid?
Ooh.
Oh, no, I want more than one.
Good question.
Okay.
Okay, because you've been there. You ain't going back.
Well, I think what I missed out on was, I think, family. You know, like I missed out on because I see like other people and see how close they are with their family. And I'm like, I never had that because it was kind of just like me and everybody else was so old. And then everybody had like their own little, you know, smaller family things, you know. And so I don't think I ever got to really experience that. And I want my kids to be able to have somebody that they can call that, you know, knows them in through and through, you know. And so I definitely want my kids to have siblings.
Yeah. And I think for you, it's especially important to do it this way because you don't really have any cousins.
Right.
So like for most people, your cousins are like your first best friends, right? Because especially if you're close in age. So those are also people that you can talk to as like kind of backup siblings. So yeah, as an only child, you don't have siblings, so they wouldn't have cousins. Aw, that's so sad.
It's okay. We gonna work on it.
Okay, so you wanna have like 3 kids, 4 kids? How many kids you wanna have?
Four.
That's four. That's too many, Kaylin.
That's Sydney, too many.
Sydney, you asked 4 questions and he wants 4 kids. So it's even.
The Beyonce number.
Exactly. I'm glad you knew that, Andrew.
Got it.
Andrew. Yes.
I see the Beyonce portrait in the background.
Yes.
Yeah.
Four is also
my
lucky
number.
I didn't
even realize that was Beyonce in the background.
Mm-hmm. The queen.
Yeah. Is that from I Am King?
Yes. Well, that was from the London Lion King premiere. A girl painted it on Twitter, and I was like, "Can I buy that from you?" And then I bought it from her.
Doesn't it feel good to have money? God damn.
Yeah,
it does.
It's a beautiful way. Like, but I think it's also wonderful to have money when you are already like you know yourself and you know what you want, and you're not frivolous, and you know what you deserve, and you want to share it with you know a close friend. And, you know, random people that you met on the unofficial
Zoom
podcast. Yeah. Like, honestly, it's just.
Exactly.
Kaylin, we love. I mean, you know what? The thing is that I want to have like a family too, like you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think four is too many just because I know that I am learning so much about myself that I'm still selfish. And four kids, that's a lot I have to give up. It's already a lot that I have to give up for one.
That excites me.
Ooh. Excites you.
Ah. It excites me. It excites me to be able to work and be able to provide a life and create a legacy for my children. And that by the time I have kids, I've done everything that I wanted to do. I've lived out all my dreams and aspirations. And now it's time for me to take the fruits of my labor and give them to you so that you can make all your dreams and aspirations come
Ooh,
true.
Legacy.
I've done Cindy. Everything that I want to do. You know, Cindy. I don't, everything I do now is just a bonus.
Ooh.
I'm going to cry. Yeah.
Oh my God. Sydney, don't cry. Actually, what you should do is name your firstborn child Legacy.
No, my first child is going to be Kaylin Allen II.
Shut
up. Oh my God.
Not y'all co-parenting.
I'm like, you're going to see your father on the weekend.
I'm dropping you off at your dad's. That's really funny. I like Legacy, so I wrote it down and I put a box around it.
Yeah.
I don't think that I'm going to have children. I'm on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of as you guys.
Really, okay. Marie? Talk to us about it.
I don't
it.
Like kids. And the older I get, the less I want to think about. I have to keep this person alive. Plus, I got to raise them to be a good person. Plus, I got to teach them how to not pee on themselves and cross the street. Like, it seems like a lot. You want to raise a happy kid, but you also want them to be smart. And then you also have to make sure they don't turn into a serial killer. Like, that's that feels like too much work for me.
A lot of weight is on it, and we don't really give more parents props when you do meet like really good, like your parents, awesome that they've raised such a well-rounded, smart individual that doesn't need anybody, that's handsome, knows how to dress, and very talented. But
thank you so much.
Yeah. No, Marie, I love your parents. I love them so much. I'm so glad that you're here. But, you know, to get to where you are and where Kaylin is, it's, I mean, I can't even think about doing that for someone right now.
It is a lot. It is a lot because you got to think about it. Like, Kaylin, what do your parents do?
So actually, my mother she don't work anymore. She's at home, and I basically take care of her at this point.
Ooh.
But she used to work in human resources.
Wow. What's your mother's name?
Alois.
Oh, I would love Alois at my job because I know that when I come with the HR bullshit, she's going to get on it. She's going to have paperwork and she's going to click, 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 click. Hold on 1 second. What you said?
She's going to say, well, Sydney, what time have you been showing up for work?
Yeah, she'll take care of you.
Okay, Marie, that's personal
Alois
information.
Alois is asking real questions. You having a hard time at work? Well, it says here that you've been showing up at 10 a.m. every day. You know your shift starts at 9.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Alois.
I will say, Alois, well, the weight of the world stops me from getting to work on time.
And she's going to say, as a black woman? Is that what you're saying? As a black woman? You in my office in front of my portrait of my son?
Okay. Okay. Oh, my God.
Not Thank the weight you, Marie. Of the world. Thank you. Yeah, the weight of the world.
Okay, well, so what's next for you, Kaylin? Like, it sounds like, I mean, because a lot of people think, when they think only children, they think spoiled, selfish, bossy, not good with talking to people. But it seems like you kind of got it figured out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is, oh, okay.
You know, it wavers, it depends.
I don't think anybody has it all figured out.
Right.
What were you saying, Sid?
I was going to say, Kaylin got a contract that he just signed. He can't say much about it.
About his mess.
Well, what I can say is I am, so I always knew that I wanted to be on TV. I knew that I wanted to be in that space. I didn't really want to remain in the digital space. So what I can tell you is that I will be on TV.
Ooh.
In more ways than one.
In my eyes, you were already on TV in more ways than one. So I'm glad that it's in fruition. So good for
you. We're expanding.
Are you the new Wendy Williams? How you doing?
How you doing?
Shout it out.
Well, Kaylin, I really, really enjoyed this. This was so much fun. I really feel like, you know, only children do get a bad rap, and you showed us another way. You showed us the way. The Kaylin Allen way.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you proved anything wrong about what you wanted to do, but I will say, I see you have a cello in the background, yes. And that feels like an only child-ass instrument in the back.
Uh-huh.
It's
uh-huh.
giving, like, my mom only had to buy one instrument, and this is the one that she bought. Like, my dad had to buy three instruments, so it was, like, clarinet, saxophone, viola, but big-ass cello in the back.
See, I wanted, when I chose, I was like, I want the biggest instrument, but I couldn't, the bass wouldn't fit in the car, but the cello did, so I picked the cello.
So why cello and not tuba? Tuba is big as hell.
No, but it's doofy. Well,
I love the musicality of the string instrument, ooh. You know, to play in an orchestra, ooh, the melodies.
Well, then why not choose harp? Because a harp is bigger than that.
Oh, that's hard, though. That's hard to do. But and I don't know where that harp was going to go.
But it's beautiful.
It is.
There's a girl on Instagram who like does covers on her harp, and it's just gorgeous. We love. Anyway, Kaylin, you got some stuff in the works. We will be seeing you on TV.
You know what?
Is there anything that you feel like you didn't say that you want to get off your chest about being an only child, or the person that you're looking for, or the children you're gonna have named Legacy,
or the host that you just met today?
You know, I love this. I think this was a great time. I truly enjoyed it. And I'm telling you, when I come to New York, we got to hang out.
We do.
I'll be there soon, you know, filming some things. So we're going to have to do it.
I love this for us. I love this for us. Okay, gorgeous. Sydney, any other questions that you felt like you need to get off your chest is?
Yes. Can you let the people know where you are on the Instagrams, the Twitters, where like if you're on the TikToks?
Where they can find Tori.
Yeah.
I make it very easy. You can find me everywhere at The Kaylin Allen. Literally everywhere. You just type in that, you will find me. And Tori will be tagged in something on my page.
I'm going to friend Tori first. I'm like, hey, there you Tori. Go.
Oh, you would love Tori. Hey, y'all would bestie. Love each other. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Andrew, did you have any questions? Because I see you up there in the little window.
No, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on, Kaylin. I love everything that you're doing. So great to see a more effeminate gay man on television. Perfect. I love that. You must get it all the time. So thank you so much for spending an hour with us.
Of course. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, wait. I needed to plug. My solo show is this Saturday at Union Hall in New York City. And Marie is doing a set before my show. So
wait, is it comedy?
It's a solo show about my childhood. And it is funny. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Marie is a stand-up, so yes, comedy is involved. And Andrew is helping me, so it's a family affair, actually.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Great.
Okay. We'll do what we can. We do what we can for the community.
Yes. So get those tickets. I mean, it's probably already sold out by the time you listen to this, but whatevs.
Okay. Well, you tried.
Yeah. Bye. Love you guys.
Bye, guys.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. The Unofficial Expert is executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Senior producer, Tracy Soren. Produced by Andrew McGuire. Cover art by Sandy Honig. To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. Check out video clips of our podcasts on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam. And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook @foreverdogteam to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news.